God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and this edition of The Encouraging Word. The Encouraging Word. We're going to be turning to the book of Acts chapter 7 in just a moment as Dr. Wilton shares this message on Stephen. Some of us know parts of the story. Today we'll discover even more and see how his life, his witness, his testimony can impact the way that we live our life, our witness, our testimony today. As we study the Word together, know that we're here for you. We're connecting online at tewonline.org. Many folks are asking about the book, The Bumps Are What You Climb On. We'll give you all the details in a minute, but you can take a peek right now online at tewonline.org about this remarkable book that Dr. Wilton's friends Warren Wiersbe has written. Again, details at tewonline.org. Now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 7. Now I want to just, I had a number of other verses that I was going to read to you out of chapter 6, and I will refer to them, but I want you to be in Acts chapter 7. This is the story about Stephen. Under the leadership of Franklin Graham and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, there was convened in Washington, D.C., a summit, a world summit, on the persecution of Christians. I was privileged to attend and to participate. There were representatives there from over 136 countries in which there is the systematic killing of Christians taking place just because they know and love the Lord Jesus. It will rank as one of the most significant events in my life, because for the first time I sat next to people from countries you and I read about: Yemen, Eritrea, Sudan, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, many from Syria, and on the list goes, in which literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people are losing their lives because they love the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice for them. And they determined, because of what Christ had done for them, that they would not in any way compromise their Christian faith. Now, that's easy for me to say. I'm a Christian man, and I call upon everyone who knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ to stand up for what you believe as a Christian, because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself called us to that. He said, if you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me. Jesus was the one who paid the ultimate sacrifice, persecuted because of who he was, and went to the cross in order that I might have life. In the Bible, we are told this incredible story about Stephen. Most of us have grown up, we know about the stoning of Stephen. He was an incredible man, and I could spend a lot of time giving us somewhat of a background to his story. They keel-hauled him in front of the people. They bore false witness against him. Fake news was rampant. They kept telling lies and stories. They were out to get him, and they were very serious about it. They could not tolerate someone who followed the Lord Jesus Christ. It threatened their treasury. It interfered with their authority. It upset their status quo. And I pick up in chapter 7 and verse 54. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Just a word here. This is one of the only passages in which we get a picture of Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember when he ascended into heaven, he was seated. Jesus stood up. When it came to what was about to happen to one of his choice servants, one of his followers. Verse 57. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, and they rushed together at him, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witness laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. When I heard one testimony after another over a two-day period in Washington, people that had been tortured and maimed beyond anything that I can describe to you, there was not a single one that didn't get up there and speak love, forgiveness. It rocked my world. I was on the highway coming back from Wilmington with my wife, and an old man came out of an intersection and nearly caused a major wreck. He was wrong. The man and his children that nearly at 70 mile an hour potentially could have lost their lives the way this man came in and just cut him off. He went all over the road. I was right behind him. I understand everything. But he was so enraged. He went ballistic, and I understand it. Made me think about these people. Nothing should upset us more. Nothing should get our hearts more than listening to what Stephen taught us so eloquently a moment ago about the British having the audacity to kill our people like this and to aim their guns at our flag. But what does this produce? Who are we today? What does Jesus teach us? A lot I can say about this man. Number one, he loved the Lord. That's pretty clear. Number two, believers followed him. By the way, have you noticed how much we love and admire people that just stand up, take a stand? You take the military. I can hardly stop myself. I'll be at an airport and here comes someone in uniform, and I might be in such a hurry, and I wish I can say I always do that, but I'm just drawn. I want to walk up to them and just say, "Thank you for your service." I know it's a little thing. I'm just drawn to. Have you noticed in our church? Have you noticed in our church the leaders, the men and women who just stand up? They do what's right. They're there. You can count on them. They're faithful. Have you noticed how our people follow them? There are scores of people in our church that I could call on right now. You just said one word, that's it. Done. It's not because you're a king or because you're... It's just because you follow the Lord, believers follow you. Number three, he was unashamed of the gospel. Go back and read chapter 7. He got up there in front of all these people. He knew his life was online, and yet Stephen just presented the gospel. Number four, he paid the ultimate sacrifice. I think of our men and women over the years. You don't suppose someone in that fort all those years ago staring down those British guns, every time they picked up that flag, they picked it out of the hands of a dead body. Basically, what they were saying is, for this flag, I'll become another dead body. What does this teach us? Where does this leave us as believers? It's a couple of thoughts. Number one, that loving Jesus demands action. So I just simply say out of the love of my heart, I call you out. Some of you, you need to look at me right now. Some of you know the Lord Jesus. You love him. You'd be the first one to say it. There's no action. Where are you? Where are you? You got no action. You're benign. You say you love the Lord, but as soon as you get out there on Civvy Street, it doesn't matter. As soon as you're on the golf course, you're just like the rest of them. As soon as you go onto that campus, it's like, who would know any different? Now, I'm not asking you to put a halo on your head and walk around like an old fuddy-duddy. You know I'm not like that. Look how you put up with me. You and I have the best fun. We go places. We laugh our heads off. We eat good food. We're in life. We love on one another. We're there for one another. But let's be who we say we are, church. And some of you need to start standing up. And some of you dads, you are so insipid in your Christianity. Your kids are growing up. They see you. They know what you profess, but they watch you as a man without action. And you're leading your kids down the garden path, and you're going to pay a big price for it. Your kids are going to grow up, and they're going to go everywhere which way but loose, because you've given them nothing to follow. You might say to me, those people in that fort died all those years ago. I follow them because I will not and I cannot forget them. And Jesus Christ gave his life for me. He changed my life. He gave me life that I myself cannot have. And this world is looking for people who understand the meaning of sacrifice.
Forgive the interruption. That concept of sacrifice is somewhat frightening at times. But the reality is, we understand you cannot out-sacrifice the power of God. And as we begin to make some sacrifices, God does a remarkable thing to put back into our lives, things that perhaps were more valuable than what we gave up. As we study the Word together, know that we're here for you. We'd love to connect with you and connect you with grand resources that will help you move beyond this 30-minute broadcast, but on a daily basis, spend time in God's Word. For example, the Daily Encouraging Word email. Dr. Don sends it out every morning about 6 o'clock in the morning. You can sign up online right now at tewonline.org and begin receiving your daily copy. That's tewonline.org. Just sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email. Or if you'd like to, text the word DAILY right now to 30500. We'll send you a quick link and sign you up that way. Just know that we're here for you. Now back to today's message on Stephen with Dr. Don Wilton.
Loving Jesus demands action. Loving Jesus commands recognition. I'll give you the golden rule. You want to become really somebody? Be a man, be a woman of action when it comes to the things of God. People will just gravitate toward you, because the heart of the human soul wants people who mean what they say and say what they mean. They're going to follow you. Loving Jesus commands recognition. It's just going to happen. And God's going to bless you because you're blessing so many others. You're inspiring so many others. Number three, that loving the Lord carries opposition. Does. Are you kidding me, folks? Do you really think, which you don't, that I really think just everybody thinks I'm the greatest thing since bubblegum? Do you really think everybody just loves the fact that you love the Lord? that you've got a Christian marriage, that you actually do say no to some things, that you don't hover between two opinions. Opposition is very real. The world hates God and hates righteousness, hates holiness. The world will do anything. And our world today is doing anything and everything. You can do anything in America, but boy, you get up and talk about Jesus, they're going to change the Constitution to try and make sure that we can no longer talk about Jesus if it carries on like that. And you can become a beatnik. You can be a beatnik. You can sit in a corner. You can cross your legs backwards, hold up your hands, and hum for 50 minutes. And everybody will say, wow, look at him. He's doing a thing. And nobody will touch you. But you get up and say, I love the Lord Jesus. There will be opposition. So what does this teach us? What do we learn? Yep, loving Jesus demands action and commands recognition, carries opposition. But loving the Lord Jesus can also lead to execution. That's what happened to Stephen. I had sitting next to me in Washington three men who were Coptic Christians from the Middle East. All three were brothers of some of the 21 men that were marched onto a beach on the Mediterranean, on the Libyan coast, in orange jumpsuits, and were beheaded. They sat next to me. Most of us know that when those Coptic Christians who were murdered on a bus going to a prayer ritual, they were all asked again, all you have to do right now on this beach while you're kneeling is just recant Jesus, just deny Jesus, and you'll live. And to the last man, every one of those 21 men refused to do it, and they paid the ultimate sacrifice. And so Sam Davis and I are sitting there in Washington together, and next to me is a very fine-looking man, obviously from somewhere in North Africa. And sitting next to him is a most beautiful young lady. Beautiful skin. Very straight up, very dignified. 35 years of age, maybe. I had no idea until she stood up and spoke. And she told how that just 3 years ago, she got arrested in her country just because she was a Christian. They took her and they threw her into a ship container. Have you seen them going by on trucks? And we've just had a heinous crime, even in our own community, in which containers were part of the instruments of death. Nothing more heinous, nothing more vicious. She, together with a whole lot of other young girls, were thrown into the shipping container. Now get this. For 36 months, no air, no light, hardly any water, no facilities. They couldn't breathe. 36 months. I would rather not, if you would allow me, go into what else happened to them almost every night. By a miracle of God, after 36 months, somehow she escaped out of this container. And she managed to somehow get across the border into a neighboring country where a refugee organization found her. She was shipped off to Norway, where she now lives. And she said, in her emaciated condition, that when she arrived there, she saw a church. And she walked across to this church, weeping. And the church had a big padlock on it. And there were some men standing there, and she said, "Isn't this a church? Can we go in and worship?" To which one of the men replied, "Oh, you got to be kidding me. We don't deal with that kind of nonsense anymore. Who wants to deal with God and Jesus and all that? Norway is a free country." So if you were called up to active service right now to defend this nation, who amongst us would be the first to go? If the flag fell and the man or the woman holding that flag had given their life in order to hold it up, would you be the first one to go and pick it up? Or would you send someone else? If you were asked, give up Jesus or live in a shipping container, which one would you do? If you had a knife to your head and knew that you could live, if you could just even just say the words, I mean, who cares about words? Would you say the words to spare your life, or would Jesus mean enough to you to say, I would give my life for my Savior? You know, those are questions I don't think any of us can really answer when we're not there. I can't tell you that I have the stickability and the fortitude, the nerve enough. But Stephen did. Colonel Ted Ballard did. Andrew Kynard went out and did. John McCain did. I could go on. I look around the audience today and I see you sitting there. From the great wars that we fought, to our heroes in Korea, to Vietnam, Grenada, Desert Storm, the conflicts going on even now in the Middle East. I thank God for you. And if there is any way that I can do it, I'm going to follow you. And if there was any way that I could do and be who you are, I would do and be who you are, praying that only God Himself could give to me the gumption to be able to actually carry through with my words and the things that are deeply in my heart. But this one thing that I know is that Jesus Christ came into my life, and my life was headed in the wrong direction. He intercepted, and I repented of my sin, and by faith I said, Lord Jesus, I know that you love me, and you gave your life for me upon a cross, and without you, I'm nothing. You made me. You created me. And you've got a wonderful purpose for me, and my life is empty. Raise your flag in my soul, spirit. Enable me to become the man of God that you want me to be. Let me be a man who, at the very least, would be a Christian husband and a Christian father and a Christian citizen of the United States of America. Let me be a man who's willing to stand up for my convictions and to be bold and to be resolute and to love people with no strings attached. Lord Jesus, you do that for me, because I don't know that I can do it for me. I'm too weak. I vacillate too much. I'm too drawn away by people. I want to be popular. I want to be accepted all the time by everyone. Lord Jesus, would you do that? Do you know what the most wonderful thing about the sacrifice of Jesus is? It's not just what he has done for us because of what he did on the cross. It's what he has given to us through the cross. And his Spirit comes into our hearts, and his Spirit gives us the power. He is the one who convicts me of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's the one who infuses my soul spirit.
Oh, if the Lord is stirring your heart about this sense of conviction, of understanding what it's like to be judged by God, when God convicts us, here's the good news. God promises that there is a way to resolve that conviction, that guilt even, by knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, not just knowing about Him, but knowing as Savior and Lord. I knew a lot about Jesus before I ever knew Him as Savior, and I pray that today you would take this next moment with our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, and think about giving your life to Jesus.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
If the Lord has spoken to you through the passages of Scripture, through the pastor's preaching, and now the pastor's invitation, and you've given your heart to Jesus, Lord, let us join you in that next step. We have wonderful resources Dr. Don has prepared just for you, absolutely free, if you'll just call and let us know you gave your heart to Christ or rededicated your life to Jesus. The number is 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store it in your cell. It's 866-899-9673. And we'd love to connect with you, pray for you, and connect you with those great resources. You can also meet us online at tewonline.org. Matter of fact, there's a lot right there online. Liz will tell you all the details.
Do you know a friend that could use some cheering up? Do you have a friend or loved one in prison that needs Christian material? We're here to help. Visit us on www.tewonline.org. It's like having a Christian bookstore at your fingertips 24 hours a day. You can browse our assortment of Christian books and ministry messages. We will even ship it to your friend or loved one for you. Surprise someone today by sending them a gift. Visit www.tewonline.org and select store. You never know how much sending a gift to someone could make an unbelievable difference in their life. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. God bless you. Thank you for listening today.
Until next time, let's stay connected online at tewonline.org or call us for prayer 24 hours a day at 866-899-9673.